1 Chronicles 16, 25 through 27. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. God, what that verse tells me is that God truly is the only God who's worthy of worship. You know, in a lot of these conversations about worship, we get asked the question, what is worship? And you know, I looked up the dictionary definition and it just says, worship is when you verbally, through word or action, give praise or adoration to something. Now that's a pretty wide definition, and if we really think about it, it's kind of shocking and almost alarming to think of how many things in your life we do worship. Now looking at this scripture, it's important to recognize that there's not multiple gods out there. That's the uppercase God is our holy God, and versus gods, lowercase gods, which is the false gods of all the nations around. And we also should remember that God isn't even a name. It is a title. It is a class of thing. We just know that there's only one thing in that class, and that is our God. One thing that God has always been very concerned with is separating his people, the culture of his people, from the surrounding cultures, the worldly secular cultures that God's people existed near. So many laws of the Old Testament that are just pertaining to that specific principle that God wants his people to be different from the people in the world. You know, it's no different in Deuteronomy 12, but in it we learn these special instructions for worship. You know, and before I read a snippet of Deuteronomy 12, we have to recognize that the whole chapter is an invitation into the presence of God for each of God's people. Before this, the people of God at that time, they worshiped at different altars around the tribes of Israel. And this was significant because the presence of God was more or less tied to a specific location, and that is the Ark of the Covenant. This place was called the Tent of Meeting, and that's where God met with Moses while Israel was without a land to call their own. Today, though, each one of us has access to God individually because he's no longer confined to the temple. Let me see here, Deuteronomy 12:4. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. And he's speaking about the surrounding cultures which worshiped false gods in all these different ways. So you must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and your special gifts, and what you have vowed to give in your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. So that's a very important principle for us to think about that. God's presence was more or less confined. I use air quotes when I say confined, because he's obviously the omnipresent, all-powerful God, but that was where one would go to meet with God, was in this tent of meeting. But all these tribes and family groups around Israel were worshiping God in their own little splinter groups and making sacrifices in these different areas. And so in Deuteronomy 12, God puts his foot down and says, no, you need to come, and your sacrifices can only be done here in the temple. Keep that in mind, that realization that God wants each of his people to come and offer their sacrifice to him in a central location. Today, though, each of us has access to God individually because he's no longer confined to the temple. Through the sacrifice of the Son of God, we have been made into suitable temples for the very presence of God to dwell through his Holy Spirit. Why then do we need to come together and worship? What's different about congregational worship? We've already, early on in this program, we talked about personal worship and being able to worship God wherever, because we are the temples where the Holy Spirit dwells. So what's so different about congregational worship? Well, I'll say this, Shekinah, where two or three are gathered, Shekinah. That was an old saying that was popular in the Jewish people. And so in Matthew 18:19, when Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, Shekinah." The original saying was where two or three are gathered, essentially speaking of people reading the Torah together, the glory of God would be there. That's what Shekinah is, the glory of God. So in that, Jesus was calling himself the Word. So if anyone's ever told you that Jesus didn't call himself God, they're a liar. There's one example right there. Jesus did it a lot. The only solution, and we believe this, with all the problems in the world, the only solution to all of life's problems is God. Through corporate worship, we can seek him and be in an environment to experience his presence. There's also the whole element of accountability and encouragement. This is why Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not give up meeting together, but encourage one another." Encouraging one another is not possible without meeting together. The presence of God is the most beautiful thing we can ever experience in this life. So let's seek it out. Be hungry for more of God. There's always more. And so I ask, if we have these places, these churches, once a week where we're coming together in the name of the Lord and he's moving and working and teaching, why would we ever forsake being a part of that? If we have a hunger for God, we want to be where he is. And we believe and we know that he is in our churches and he is moving and working. So let's be there together. So the other question people ask is, well, okay, so that's what worship is. Well, how do I worship? You see, true worship isn't something that you're born knowing how to do. In fact, the opposite's true. We're born with the propensity for false worship and to give our worship to the worship of false gods or other idols in our lives. Truly though, God is worthy of every second of worship we can offer. Nothing else is, only God. And you see, worship isn't just through music, but by surrendering and devoting ourselves to him. We learned that early on in this program. Our lives are all given to him as a sacrifice. And so think of it this way. If worship through our lives is a sacrifice, worship together through song is an offering. We offer praise. We yield our schedules to intentionally include these times where we seek God together. So here's what I want you to do. In a worship time, I want you to do this. Open your heart to sense God. Pray for his presence and actively participate in the worship. Don't just stand there listening. Play an intentional part by joining in and calling in the presence of God, singing the truths out, and honoring him as a community, an atoned, saved community where the presence of God dwells. You see, offering praise and worship doesn't happen by itself. We must do worship. And so if you're following along this as a group, I want you to click on the link in the description of this episode, and together we're gonna worship now. We're gonna lift up God's holy name, and we are going to sense the presence of the Spirit in the room. And then we're going to have some time for discussion. Also, this is the time when you really need to put your personal retreat on the calendar and make sure that's going to happen. Keep on praying. Keep digging in. And I know that God is really working and changing our lives. So thank you for joining in. This is the last episode. And I'm so excited to hear the testimonies of how God grew us in this time.